Today we hear the words of our Savior, first spoken to the disciples, and then recorded for us in Mark chapter 10. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our criminal justice system does not allow what was just mentioned in our text, a ransom for many, or even a ransom for one. It simply does not happen, at least not intentionally. No one can volunteer to take the place of the accused and pay that person's debt to society. Not even the victim of the crime, assuming the person would even choose to do it, can take the rap for the criminal. That really should make God's practice of substitution in his court all the more striking, unique, incredible, yet amazingly true. Not just someone off the street, not just the victim, but the King himself has taken the place of all the rebels. Your King Jesus has taken the rap for you, the convict, and paid that ransom, that expensive price, to bring you out of prison into his kingdom. As American citizens, we are told of our rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, yes, but no guarantees. You have the right to pursue happiness, but no guarantee of that. Well, in God's kingdom, we have some guarantees. The guarantee of God's forgiveness of all our sins, made sure by what Jesus did. The guarantee of God's love for us at all times, proven decisively by what Jesus did. And the guarantee of that future inheritance. As American citizens, you don't get to move into the White House as your home. But as believers in Christ, members of his kingdom, we do expect to move into his house, his palace, one day. It sure sounds like you and I are on the receiving end of a rather lopsided arrangement, which should really help us accept the other side of how it goes in the kingdom of God. Your place in that kingdom is not going to be a one-way street, what's called easy street, where you get to receive gift after gift after gift and have nothing to offer in return. Oh no. In God's kingdom, you are put to work. Not to earn your keep. Not to pay your way. Not even a little bit. You are put to work simply to honor your Savior and show him your loyalty. But only after. Only after the King has served you in the ultimate way, exchanging his life for yours, you and I then have the privilege of serving the King, especially in the way we serve each other. Notice how Jesus put this: whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Greatness in the kingdom of God is always measured by how much the believer, or the person, the King in this instance, serves others. Christ, of course, is that prime example. But then he leads us to emulate him, to serve someone else with our own form of self-sacrifice. Not necessarily giving up your life to save another. That may not happen for any one of us. But other things sure could and will, like giving up your money to meet a need, giving up your time, your efforts. And also something very important that Prof. Pfeiffer mentioned the other day, you having the attitude that the other person is more important. His or her needs are more important than your own. So instead of asking that selfish question, which comes so naturally, what can I do to make myself happy? We now ask the superior question of the servant. What can I do to make my king happy? What can I do to make my fellow Christian better off? Here with this gathering of people, this is the place to start. The fellow believers around us. To which we add the other believers near and far, and people who don't believe in Christ. All of them are given to us by the Lord as those whom we serve, regardless of who they are, regardless of what needs they may have. Sure, it's an easy thing to say and a much harder thing to do. And yet, there's great potential here because it will be a get to and want to kind of a situation rather than a have to, because the Lord will lead us to volunteer. Can you expect difficulty in this? Certainly. There will be a struggle with yourself, the constant need for renewal, a change of heart and mind as part of the process, but the Lord will make it happen. He predicted as much. Jesus will move us into action as we go and see that aged member in the nursing home or a fellow Christian in the hospital, as we pray for each other day by day, reach out to each other in time of need, encourage each other in our moments of distress. The Lord will make it happen, not only in giving us these various opportunities and the necessary resources to help each other, but also the incentive to serve each other. Let's think back to that dark, somber Friday afternoon when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. Though he was suffering extreme agony of body and soul, he had his focus on others, including his mother, standing nearby. He told the disciple John to take care of her. John obeyed his Lord and served his fellow Christian. How could he do any less when he was watching with his own eyes what Jesus was doing for him? That is a pattern that happens in your life too. In our own way, we are standing at the cross of Christ with fellow Christians nearby. By faith and through the Word, we watch the sacrifice Jesus made and realize what great things he has done for us, and also hear him say, take care of each other. Do it for me. Amen.